Good evening, class. My goodness, it's awesome to be in, I nearly said church tonight, but you know, it can be church. It should be. It should feel like that we are having some type of order of church or gathering or Bible study, Bible teaching, preaching, whatever. As you know, we have been dealing with faith for a long time. And we've been dealing with Psalms 91. I hope you got it by now. It is an awesome, incredible Psalm, okay? I have, and Paula, she taught last Friday night, and she is doing this, I think it should be a book, The Secret Place. And she has written now, I don't know how many, it's 100 and something places, the place that my speaking place, my sitting place, my sharing place. It is amazing what she is putting together on that. I cannot wait to hear some of that next, possibly next year. And so she let me see the notes, and they're on my desk, and I perused over them. They're awesome things. And so she pinch hit while I was gone. We had a great time, okay? We have dealt with Psalms 91 and 1, okay? And Don can throw that up there first, if you don't mind. We've dealt with Psalms 91 and 1, okay? We have dealt with Psalms 91 and all of 91 and 1, okay? We've not really went in as much as I want to on He is my refuge and my fortress. I will say of the Lord. It's what you say out, what comes out of your mouth, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress. Look at that word fortress, like F-O-R-T, it's fort. He is my fort. No, if you ever notice the word comforter, okay? He went away and he said, I'll pray another comforter will come, okay? Right in the middle of the word comforter is the word fort, which we know is a place of incredible strength. It's a place of wars being won. It's a place of safety, a fort there. And so I've been praying over these verses and asking the Lord, give us revelation. We need to know about your protection plan greater than we've ever known about the protection plan. I was reading some incredible articles today, and people were giving their testimonies, and we did this way back when we first started, about how did you get protected, you know? And different people told their stories, okay? So we want to talk a little bit more about this before I get into the snare of the fowler, because we're going to really tie in the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. We're going to really look deeper into that, because we're going to deal with some things that people are facing. People are being the snare of the fowler. What does that really mean? What is a noisome pestilence? But I can't get past and I was praying today, and I said, Lord, you got an incredible protection plan. I said it like that. Protection. Can I tell you, there's not, I don't want to be derogatory or flippant with this, okay, what I'm about to say. God is not a rookie when it comes to taking care of you.
Amen.
Okay? And I don't want to go elaborate on a lot of that. He is not a rookie, okay? He is a veteran. He knows what he is doing. That's why I call it the pro. He's a pro at protecting us. There's nobody can protect you no better than God.
Amen.
Nobody. I was praying today and the Holy Spirit just hit me with this. It's not by might, okay? It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God's Spirit. It's not by might. If might is great, but you can't trust in might. You can't trust. The Bible says, trust not in chariots to win your battle. It's not might. It's not power, but it's God's Spirit that protects us. And so I begin delving into this more and more. And so I want you to look at, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, okay? I want to go to a story tonight. And Paula, give us the verse that Don can look this up. It is a very elementary story, okay? It's the story of two incidents, okay? Which one are we going to read first? Daniel in the lion's den or the fiery furnace?
The three Hebrew children is in chapter 3.
Okay. What about the Daniel in the lion's den?
Chapter 6, verse 3.
6 and 3. Daniel 6 and 3, Brother Don, okay? I was praying. I just couldn't. I mean, I would go early this morning, and I prayed for a long time, and to come out, and then this afternoon, we were doing things around the house, and I felt like I needed to go back into my study because I needed to get the release that I needed for tonight on what God wanted for us all to hear, and about protection and problems and situations. And I told you earlier that there's going to be revelation coming tonight. For all of us, maybe someone personally that's going to agree with this. If we're not careful, we pray that we never have any problems.
That would be great.
Yeah. We pray that we never have any temptations. We pray that nothing ever bad happens. Dr. Kushner wrote the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. If it was left up to us, we would pray that we'd never get stung by a bee. We'd never get stung by a wasp or an ant. What else? What else could be? Probably pray that you never stump your toe. Never hurt your finger. Never have to go to the doctor. That's right. Oh, I can understand there. Been there and done that one, brother. Oh, yes. You see what I'm saying? We would pray that none of these things would happen. Paul read it tonight or told us about Paul's testimony of all the things he went through. If we're not careful, we are wanting to be immune to all the situations in life, okay? And there is a certain immunity because we're believers. I will say that. We're going to talk about in Psalms 91. We're going to talk about, I said it to Melvin. Melvin's still been, I'm going to use the word puny. Melvin is not puny, but by no means. He's a man, but he's been, he just hasn't really, what was the word you used, Melvin? You used a word for me. Something on the weather, whatever. So he said that. Larry, for, was it 3 weeks now? Okay. This is not right. This is not right, okay? This is not right. There's been too big a price paid for us. Amen. That we don't have to be like this. My daughter is suffering right now. May have to go to ER or to urgent care tomorrow and just have some x-rays. I don't know. She went to Denver and they did some climbing. And as you know, if you've ever been to Denver, you better drink plenty of water. You're going to have your lips parched and you're going to get dehydrated because the altitude is there. And she came back. She was coughing and Ethan was coughing. She was off work. She's at our house right now, okay? I said all that to say this. I was praying this afternoon and God began to deal with me about this elementary story of Daniel in the lion's den and the three children in the fiery furnace. We know that. Well, how long have we been knowing this story? I mean, you were taught this when you were, four or five years old in Sunday school. You can't score. And I mean, we were like this. We were little tykes, you know. Tykes? Is it tykes or tights? T-I-K-E-S. I was saying tights. It's not tights. We don't want to say that. No, it wasn't tights. We were tykes in tights, probably, you know. But this is the most incredible story of God's protection plan, okay? You ready? He did not take them out of the lion's den. That wouldn't have been a miracle. That wouldn't have been a miracle. I mean, we would have never read about it, never told about it when we was little, you know, that if he got thrown in and he got picked up and the king felt sorry for him and, you know, coming out of it. That is not the way this happened. The Bible tells us here. The Bible said, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole room. Is this what we're supposed to be reading? Okay. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion. I want to tell you one thing. I'm just going to preach the house down tonight, okay? Let me help you with something. When you set goals, you can write this one down. When you set goals, you expose your foes. Set a goal, your foes are going to show up. They don't want you to reach that goal. They don't want you to, Gary and Sharon in sales. Drew's in sales. Anybody else in sales here tonight? I'm telling you, is it a dog eat world out there in the competition? Oh my goodness, yes. So the Bible said here that Daniel was preferred, okay? Preference, he was preferred, okay? There is so much jealousy in the kingdom of God. I remember preaching for a guy years ago, and he told me, he said, but I want to tell you one thing. There ain't nobody ever going to preach in my pulpit that can preach better than me. I said, well, I better leave now. First night, second night, third of night of revival. I don't even know what it was. Let me tell you how he introduced me. It was like the craziest stuff. It was like a circus. It was like whatever. I want you to welcome to my pulpit tonight, Reverend Malone and the God he serves. I thought, what is going on here? So about three or four nights into the meeting, we're just having a move of God. I just got a text just probably a few months ago and said, I think I got the Holy Ghost in your meeting. I sent her a text back. I said, I think you did get the Holy Ghost in my meeting. And her sister got the baptism. They were pastor's daughters. They got the baptism in my revival right there. Okay. And so about three or four nights, we're having a move of God. It's just going great. I'm preaching the house down. We're having a time. Paul is singing the house down. So about the fourth night, I don't know what come over those people. This didn't happen the first night, second night, third night. But on the fourth night, he introduced me as the same old way, and I get a standing ovation. That was not good. Because I got preferred over the pastor. After church, he cornered me. They never gave me a standing ovation. Guys, listen to me. It's sad when we start looking at ourselves. Well, they got a bigger church than I got. He's a better preacher than I got. She can sing a whole lot better than I can sing. They've got a greater choir than what we got. And Paul condemned that. He said, you are doing wrong when you judge among yourselves, among each other. Amen. The Bible said, if you want to be great, serve. He that's greatest among you, let him serve. Let him serve. You want to be great? Go out and serve. Go feed the homeless. That'll make you great. Go with Scotland Masters and feed, take it to the streets. Take them clothes. Take them some gloves or hats, okay? That'll make you great. Go to Thanksgiving and feed the homeless down at City Union Mission. We've been down there and done that, okay? We couldn't help cook for them, okay? He got preferred above the presidents and the princes. He wasn't a president. He wasn't a prince, but he got preferred. Let me help you with something tonight. The Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. Promotion comes from God. Amen. It's in the book of Proverbs. Make sure when you're promoted that it's a God promotion. Okay? They were preferred above the presidents because he has an excellent spirit among him. And the king thought to set him over the whole kingdom. Not good. Not good for Daniel. Not good for Daniel. This is what it leads to. The princes and the president sought to find occasion. Let me tell you. Now, what we're seeing going on in America right now, which is like idiotic, asinine, if you ask me, it is totally nuts. It is ridiculous. The American people are sick of it. They're tired of it. They're not the ones that wanted it in the first place. I'm just going to say it's crazy for this. We need to pray for our president and first lady. This man don't deserve this, okay? And I don't care who you voted for, he's your president. It's like the pastor. He may not preach like you want him to preach. He may not sing like you want him to sing. He's your pastor. And you pray for him and you honor him is what the word says. And the Bible said they sought occasion. If they'll seek occasion, they're going to find one on you. They're going to dig something up on you. They're going to find. You may have kicked your dog when you got mad. Yeah. And the kids told on you and they're going to take you to court because you kicked your dog, you know. So they found occasion against Daniel, but they could not, they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there an error or fault. I'm telling you, is that the kind of life I want to live? Is that who I want to, that's how I want to be. I want to be faithful and I want to be faultless. Yeah, I'm faithful, but the faultless part, I mean, I'm still working on that part. Anybody with me on that one? Yeah, Christmas tree lady's got her hand raised real high over here. Yeah. Yeah. Faithful and no error or fault is in him. He's got an excellent spirit. Let me help you with something. Do your best to live faithful and faultless.
Yes.
Okay. And an excellent spirit. Do your best, okay, to do that. Just do your best to do that because we're representing the kingdom, okay? We're representing it. People get on to me about sometimes how I dress. I'll wear a sports coat or I'll wear a pair of jeans and a sports coat. Even when I'll go to church, and Drew knows this. But you know what? It's like when I call my doctor, I don't want him walking in and it looks like everything he was wearing got caught under a lawnmower. He's my doctor. He's fixing to do brain surgery on me. I want a little bit better than that, okay? We represent the kingdom. So here we go. The Bible said they can't find nothing wrong with him. Let's turn the page. This is what happens. Then said we, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it concerning the law of his God. Well, I'm telling you, if I'm going to be found anything against me, I want it to be that he's got too much faith.
Amen.
Hello? Or he prays too much. Or he talks about God too much. Amen. I want to be found. You know, we can't have a decent conversation with Robert because all he ever wants to talk about is shop. He wants to talk shop all the time. Well, that's all I've been doing since I was 16. I mean, yeah, this is it. This is my life. You get around me, we're going to talk shop. We're going to talk kingdom. We're going to talk faith. We're going to talk about God working miracles. We're going to talk about people getting saved. We're going to talk about how the kingdom is working. We're going to talk shop. So if you don't want to talk shop, you don't want to talk to me. We're going to talk about the kingdom. I'm a kingdom man. Look to someone right beside you and say, now, understand it's a generic word. So when you say I'm a kingdom man, you really mean you're a kingdom woman. If you're a kingdom woman, you really mean you're a kingdom man. Just I got it better. You know, all this pronoun and he, noun stuff. I get sick of what you can't use a pronoun anymore, or you can't say he or she. You can't use gender. I thought, what has happened to America? Look to that person right beside you and say, aren't you glad that you're a kingdom person? I got away with that one. I got away with that one. I got away with that one. You're a kingdom person. And kingdom people act like kingdom people should act like. Oh, hallelujah. If you find a fault with me, you find a fault that he acts too much like the kingdom. He wants to talk about the kingdom all the time. He wants to talk about Jesus all the time. I want to be found faithful in doing that all my life. Amen. Praise God. Preachers ought to talk about the kingdom. Christians ought to talk about the kingdom. They ought to talk about the Bible. They ought to talk about church, okay? You say, well, I'm too old. I don't want to start any fights. Man, are you kidding me? Let's just wait out and roll our sleeves up and slug her out. Amen. We've been sitting around too comfortable in the first place. Miss Barbara was telling me today she had a ladies' lunch with her girls that she has lunch with, the Nichols girls. And they're all up in age. And number one thing they said, we will not talk about religion when we come and have lunch together. And for years, I'm telling you, Roberta, I mean, this woman is just a godly praying woman. I mean, she is part of a church over in Kansas City, Kansas. Miss Barb You know, she comes here. I mean, she knows about the kingdom. I mean, she's here. She's taking notes. She listens to Brother John Hagee. I mean, that's her church. Every Sunday morning, I can call her. I'm listening to Brother John Hagee. Boy, I'm telling you, him and his son, they are really preaching. They had the singer on. She'll tell me all about the message and everything. So I called her there, just checking on her. And she said, you know, we had that lunch the other day. And we don't supposed to talk about it, but one of the other women that never wanted to talk about it mentioned something about, mentioned something about God or the Bible. She said, so I just told her, I said, well, if you want to know more about your soul and what the Bible says about it, you just need to go to John chapter 3 and read the whole chapter. That's Miss Barb that's 81 years old. Yeah, talking about the kingdom. We've been shut mouth long enough. Well, you know what? They'll throw me in the fiery furnace. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. We don't care if they're going to throw us anywheres because we're under God's protection plan and we got to be protected in this deal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I know there's policies in office. You can't talk about politics or church. You know, I mean, I've heard that. And, if that's the arena, then don't talk about it in the office. Get them out and corner them on the sidewalk or in the elevator. See, I love elevators. When you got them on there, they can't get off. Let them have it. It's like airplanes. I pray about who's going to sit by me. I love it. They can't get off. They can't push the button. Tell that girl to come down and say, he's talking about Jesus too much. No. I'm telling you, I could tell you story after story how God worked with me on the plane, witnessing and loving on people and taking the kingdom to them. I want to be, if there's anything wrong with me, let it be found concerning my God. Amen? Let it be found concerning my God. I'm trying to get to where's my time? Oh, my goodness. Okay, where were we? Verse number 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto them, well, I'm telling you, this is just good stuff tonight. King Darius or Darius, live forever. You talking about sucking up to a king and, are you kidding me? King Darius, would you live forever? I'm telling you, when they come to you with that, better know they got a dagger in their hand. I've had him in the call and said, Brother Robert, I'd like to take you out to eat. And I thought, I felt something right there that I probably shouldn't do that. I have turned down meals before because I knew what it was going to be. It was going to eat. They weren't going to eat lunch. They were going to eat their pastor. Look at the guy. Ain't my first rodeo. I've been there and done it and wore it twice, okay? Sad. Here we go. King Darius, would you live forever? And the king, the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statue. This all sounded good, isn't it? A royal statue to make a firm decree. Firm, remember, was at the church. We spent months, Melvin would testify and Charlene, we spent years trying to come up with a policy for Antioch Church. And we got messed up between the two words. What is policy and what is guidelines? I won't go there tonight. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree, sign it with writing, let it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, and when Daniel knew. Are y'all ready for verse? I'm not even going to get to that fiery furnace tonight. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and when Daniel knew.
Right.
Are y'all looking at this? When Daniel knew. Get ready for the next part of this verse. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went and had the biggest pity party and got in a corner and cried and went through a full-blown give-up party. Nobody loves me. They done lied on me. I think I'll just quit and throw my hands up and give up.
Nope.
Daniel knew the decree was signed. It ain't changed him a bit.
That's it.
Let me tell you, that, my friend, is the kind of relationship with God you want. That it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they act. Ain't budging me. Not my faith. God loves me. I'm going to heaven. You can say whatever you want to say. You can do whatever you want to do. You don't move me. You don't mess me up. Be like a friend of mine that his elders and the deacons wanted to vote him out of his church, and they called him a lunch on him at lunch, and they got him surrounded one day and said, you know what? We're going to give you, they nearly said the word H-E-L-L, we're going to give you so much bad stuff that you're not even going to be able to sleep anymore. He said, oh, I think I'm going to go home and take a nap. I just got real sleepy. And told it to their face. Amen. Let me be like Daniel, that even knowing the decree was signed and everything that was about it, I'm going to still open my windows of heaven. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to get a little louder with it. Oh, God, I can just hear them. You know where they were? Guess where they were? Right up underneath his windows. Because not only did Daniel know he was going to pray, they probably knew Daniel was going to pray. Oh, I'm about to run right now. I'm so excited about this message on God's protection plan. He ain't always going to take you out of the fiery furnace. He's going to leave you right there where you're working. You want to be delivered from all them hellions and all them unbelievers and all them heathens, but you're the only light they'll ever have, and God's going to keep you right there. I told you you're going to get excited about this message tonight. Amen. I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Robert, would you pray for me? There is nobody in my whole office that is saved. I just love to work around a bunch of saved people. I said, I would never, ever pray for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray that God gets you on fire and Holy Ghost revival breaks out in your office. They get so mad at me when I tell them that. Why? Why am I going to pray for them to be taken out of the office with a bunch of lost people, but then we're going to send a missionary to South Africa? It don't make any sense. That's good preaching for Friday night. Amen. You're going to have some situations. There ain't no need trying to say, Lord, please don't let nothing come my way, please. No, no. God says there will be temptations. I can prove it to the Bible. Even Jesus said in John 16, the last verse, in this world you shall have tribulation. Anybody had any tribulation lately?
Last night.
Yeah, tribulation. Oh, yeah. You know, the Bible said, oh, you know, the Bible said, I have people say, man, hey, they said, Brother Malone, don't pray anymore. They'd come to me and said, pray for me that I'd have patience. I said, okay, but get ready for tribulation. Get ready for hell to break loose. Get ready for things to go wrong. Get ready for the dog to hate you. Get ready for the car to break down. Get ready to be fired. Because let me tell you, if you want patience, you're going to get some tribulation to help you get some patience. Huh? Yes. Amen. But in, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says, but in your patience, you possess your soul. Amen. You're possessing. Be patient. You know, I'm going to help somebody with this one right now. You're not writing no notes down. I can tell right now, I'm just skinning y'all tonight. The Bible tells me here that it says, let patience have her perfect work. What you going to do, Daniel? Same thing I've been doing for the last 300 days. Same thing I've been doing for the last week. Every morning, the Bible said, at morning, at noon, and in the evening, Daniel would open up his windows toward Jerusalem, and he'd pray. He said, you think I'm going to back down now because a bunch of heathenistic God haters have signed a decree that I can't pray anymore? Not in a million years. And the Bible said, knowing it was signed, he just opened up his windows and said, God, here I am. And they were underneath the windows. We got it. We got him. We got him. Amen. Notice here, the Bible said they assembled, and then the men assembled. He went into his house. The windows were open. One preacher said, he said, when those old clock hands come together at noon, Daniel's hands came together at noon. He was praying and went into his house, opened up the windows toward Jerusalem. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime, or like he had always been doing. What stopped you from being the believer at your office that you once was? What stopped you from testifying? I thought, Miss Barb, I would have never dreamed it would have come out of you. I said, I hung the phone. I said, hallelujah. She nailed them. They needed to hear. They had been the ones that said, we don't want to talk about religion. But one of them opened up and said, you know, she's getting older and everything. She got things, you know, I don't know about this. And Miss Barb said, you know what? You just go, I think it was John 3 or 5. She said, you just go there and you'll find everything you need to know about your soul. I said, hooray for our team. Hooray for our team. What are you going to do when they tell you, you got to stop praying? What are you going to do? Are you going to stop praying? No. I'm telling you, we did in school. Kentucky, hallelujah. Kentucky has just passed a law that you can teach the Bible in the high school. Amen. Isn't that great? I pray it bleeds over into West Virginia. They need a revival in West Virginia. I pray it bleeds over in there. Amen. Listen, we're gonna pray at the flagpole. Amen. We're gonna get there at the first of the year. We're gonna have our prayer groups. We're gonna pray anyway. We don't care what they say. That is a man-made law that was derived by an atheist by the name of, what was her name? O'Hare. Madeline O'Hare, and she was the one that got it passed. A heathen, ungodly atheist did that, and we took prayer out of school. I remember, you know, they'd pray every time before school got started. Let me tell you one thing. We may be just on the verge of a Holy Ghost revival coming to our schools again. They ain't only going to pray. They're going to run down the aisle just praising and singing and blessing God. Amen. I pray that happens. I pray it happens from the elementary all the way down through the last 4 years of college. If you're going to be a doctor, the 12 years of college. I pray revival just breaks out. Daniel said, I'm going to pray just like I've been praying. I'm not backing down. Okay, next 3 minutes I'll spend on what I really wanted to get to tonight. The Bible said the men assembled together and found Daniel praying, making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Didn't you sign a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save O thee, king, should be cast in the den of the lions? The king answered and said, the king is true, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered, and they said before the king, that Daniel, which is the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petitions 3 times a day. I love this. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. I love it. And he labored till the going down of the sun. I'm going to do everything I can. I don't want this boy, and I signed it, and I'm the king, and I got to live up to it, but I'm going to do everything I can to get him delivered. And then these men assembled in the king and said, then king, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians, it is, there's no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually.
All right.
Who said it?
The king.
It wasn't Daniel. Well, Daniel didn't say it. This ungodly heathen king said, Daniel, the God who you serve continually, he's going to deliver you. I'm telling you, when you get the atheists and the infidels telling us that everything's going to work out in the good for you, I'm telling you, that's a move of God, my friend. Amen. Who would have ever thought that we have got a casino builder, hotel builder, golfer, the most the most unlikeliest person in the world that would be the president of the United States. There has to be a God in heaven somewheres. Has to be a God in heaven somewheres. And let me tell you, that's why the old, as they say in the South, the old devil, he done got mad about our president. They want to legalize marijuana everywhere. They want to abort every child they can. There's no telling what else they're going to do before it's over. I'm telling you, that's why we better pray for our president. We better pray for the 2020 election and tell your kids to do it and your grandkids to get out there, because we got a king here that he don't really want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but we got a bunch of prince and people that's trying to get him in the lion's den. And I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven above. Let them throw him in there anywhere, because there's a God in heaven above. When they look inside that lion's den, oh, Daniel's going to be alive and well, because the den of lions could not eat him. And I'm praying every time they try to take our president down, God will take him up. Amen. Amen. God's not always not going to let you go to the lion's den. You may have to get in there with them, but they ain't going to eat you. They can't eat you. Amen. Look to someone right beside you and say, they can't eat you. If they can't boil John in hot water and hot oil, and they can't kill him on the Isle of Patmos, and they can't burn him up in the fiery furnace, and they can't drown him at the Red Sea, surely we got a God in 2019 can protect you through the little trials that you're going through, that somebody don't like you too much. Now that's good preaching for Friday night. God has got a protection plan, and you're covered. You're covered. Praise God. Well, I'm running out of time. I ain't run out of nothing to say. I ain't even got to my notes yet. I don't never run out of nothing to say.
This is true.
I just run out of time, Melvin. Praise God. It'll hold. To week after next, not class next week's Thanksgiving, week after next. Praise God.